Now, part of me, because of Sunday night, we have a shorter amount of time to teach. Part of me wants to review somewhat from this morning, but not the hardness as a soldier part, but where I introduced how the Holy Spirit works with the spoken word. So let me just say this. I mean, you can listen to that again this morning. I only got into it about 10 minutes. I've got a visual demonstration that's going to come on that pretty soon that you'll never be the same after you see it. But you've got to understand the primary way that the Holy Spirit operates is with the Word of God. He works with the spoken Word. And again, just to refresh your memory, He is God. He's all-knowing. He's just as much all-knowing as God the Father. He was already on the earth. We could go back to Genesis 1. He was already there, hovering over the earth, the darkness, and there was no light. But the instant that the Father wanted light, He knew it, because He's all-knowing as much as the Father is. He had the power to produce light. But you notice He's not doing anything about it. He is waiting for something. And you got to understand what He was waiting for was that spoken Word of God. For the second, in this case, the second member of the Godhead to say, light be. And boom, then that's what released the power of the Holy Spirit. Then light was. Okay? Now, when the Holy Spirit was first teaching me this nearly 30 years ago, He said, If I will not make an exception, not even for God the Father, to manifest what He wants without the spoken word, if I won't make an exception for Him, what do you think the odds are I'm going to make an exception for you? It's just not possible. That is the roles. Now, the Godhead is not God the Father, and below Him, God the Son, and below Him, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. They're all three God. Dave would say chest to chest, eye to eye, full stature, all three God. But they have chosen their respective roles in the operation of the universe, and this is how they do it. God the Father wills everything. In the beginning, the Son spoke everything, and the Holy Spirit manifested everything. And God could have kept it just that way, but God, in His sovereignty, chose to make man. And He made man in His own image. And He wanted to co-labor with man to function on this planet Earth. And that's why He said to the Holy Spirit, let them have dominion. And so from that point on, the Holy Spirit and the man functioned on planet Earth. Now when man fell, and his spirit went from light to dark, from life to death, if you'll allow me, the sanctuary within him of the Holy Spirit closed, and the Holy Spirit departed. He no longer lived in man to enforce that dominion. All right. Now, what you see over the next now, and again, I guess I am going to review. I'm doing it anyway. So the first thing God did right after the fall, He prophesied about the coming seed, the seed of the woman. You're going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. You remember that? The seed of the woman. And now for all those intervening, and we're skipping over Noah, we're skipping over Abraham, we're skipping over Moses. But over all those centuries, the Holy Spirit was able to function, but only on a limited basis. And it was here, it was there. He would come on somebody for a purpose, but he didn't come to abide. And when that function was over, he would withdraw. But all of that, even that was done based on the promise of the coming seed. It was the master charge card. You remember Dave teaching that? Charge it to the cross. It was looking forward to that day. Abraham and all of them walked in accounted righteousness, looking forward to the day that the master would come and offer himself as a sacrifice. But that day did come. Jesus was the life once more was conceived. Jesus is called the seed. You want to know why he's called the seed? For a love offering of 1990? No. Any seed has life in it. He was, from the time that Adam fell till the time that that embryo was conceived in the womb of Mary, there was not a human on planet Earth that had life within his spirit. But when Jesus was formed in that womb of Mary, he was flesh containing life. Not just any life, the life and nature of God. He is the seed. God, the whole, it was really kind of like Genesis again. If you looked at the spirits of men all around the earth, the whole earth was dark. When he comes to the spirits of men, there wasn't a single light. Not anybody had life nowhere on planet Earth. Millions of people, not one. But then God sowed a seed of life in the womb of Mary. Whew. It's amazing. And the seed was come. When you believed on him, that life that he had in him, now you have that life in you. Amen? Well, that brings us to where we are, because God has not changed his original plan. He intends to co-labor on this planet with man. Men and women made in the image of God. And when you got born again, you know that that spirit on the inside of you was created in the image of Christ. You say, well, I don't act very much like Christ. Well, we're all in the process of renewing the mind. And the more you renew the mind, and the more, it's more than knowledge, the more the mind is really renewed. And that includes the emotions, ambitions, the will, surrenders to the life of Christ on the inside. The more you're conformed to that image, and the more it comes from the inside to the outside. Amen? But now God wants to co-labor with us. Have you noticed the enemy is still killing folks? We have lost several, even at this church, within the last year or two, that should not have died. I think if Jesus came down off the mount, he wouldn't be any happier with us than he was with those that did not get that boy free, that boy that had the lunatic spirit. You can tell he wasn't happy. You bring that boy here to me. How long am I going to have to do this for you? How long am I going to have to put up with this, you know? And he got that boy free right away. Now, we're not supposed to keep on losing them. And we're not going to keep on losing them. So right now he's got me in this season of going in like I've never gone in before, studying healing. I'm like laser focused on it. But thank God I'm learning some things, and then you're learning some things. Amen. But now that all of that to bring us up to the title, you have authority to command. You have authority to command. That's the reason you were given dominion. See, you can see the pattern in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then in John 17, Jesus says, Father, the same way you sent me, I am sending them. So what are we supposed to be doing? Going around doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us. We've been given the Holy Spirit, we've been given the name of Jesus, and we've been given hands. Mark 16, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now the thing of it is, this works the way Jesus says it works. It does not work the way religion says. Now, you ready? You might want to make notes or get this later. This is a classroom setting tonight. I'm going to go pretty fast through some of this. Now, I want you to study these things for yourself too. Please do not take my word for nothing. I don't trust preachers, including Gary. You shouldn't either. You get it. I want your Bible to look like this one, except I don't want Genesis 1 to fall out. Got to go get another one. Creation just fell out of my Bible today. Can't be having a Bible that starts with the fall. I mean, the curse, you can't have that, you know. Anyway, you know, well, how do you get a Bible that looks like that? You use it. Get your nose in that Bible. I want to see ink smudges on your nose, you know, from being in your Bible. Anyway, now here's some things. Study that for yourself. Here's what's happened. You've got a whole church supposedly believes that Jesus is the healer. But nobody is ministering to the sick the way Jesus ministered to the sick. And what I mean by that, not even the procedure is the same. Because most of the time, when you got a sick person, here's what we do. We get in front of them and they say something to this effect, Father, please heal this person. Now, you study it for yourself. You will not find one time Jesus ever did that. Not an amen, not a... Study it for yourself. I was shocked myself. I went through and looked. The way we've been doing it is not the way he did it. He didn't do that. He didn't send them out when he sent out the 12 and when he sent out the 70. He did not say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Amen. See, and that's why he's been having me teach about healing is in the atonement. And even more specifically, healing is in those stripes. in the stripes that he took on his back. From God's point of view, the healing has already been provided. Now see, 1 Peter 2:24 tells you, with his stripes we were healed. Isaiah said, prophesying about it, we are healed. But Peter goes, well, that's a done thing. In fact, Peter saw it. He was an eyewitness. He saw how Jesus looked after he was whipped. And he says, with his stripes we were healed. So stop praying for God to heal them. You're not going to find Jesus doing that, not once. If you do, let me know and I'll repent publicly. But I already checked. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Well, how did he do it? I'm glad you asked. Open up to John 5. We're going to look at several pretty quick tonight. Now, if healing is... Okay, here's an example to help us. When it comes... Okay, so let's say we had him... We filled up the place. We had a big advertisement. And there's 10,000 people come to a meeting at some stadium here in town. And gives the altar call. And 100 sinners come forward. And they're lined up. Like your picture, just pretend with me. They're lined up. 100 of them. They heard the gospel. The altar call was given. Who wants to be saved? And 100 of them come and they're standing on this line. How many of you think that he is going to go down the line and be asking the Lord, Lord, out of these 100, which ones do you want to save? What? They heard the gospel. They responded to the gospel. How many of them did Jesus die for? 100%. How many of them are going to get saved? All of them. 100% is 100%. That's what it means when it says salvation is in the atonement. Now, that same evangelist says, now, everybody in the building who needs to be healed, come and stand. And 100 people come and they get on the line to be healed. And if healing is in the atonement, exactly the same way that salvation is in the atonement, then what are we going to do? Walk down the line and go, now, Lord, which ones do you want to heal? It's just as done when it comes to healing as it is to salvation. You've got to get that. Healing is in the atonement. The healing has already been provided. That's why it doesn't work to say, Father, please heal them. He's going, what exactly is it more that you want done than the stripes on Jesus's back? What is it that you want done? What can I do? And what's sad, the Holy Spirit is walking right with us, ready to provide, just as ready to provide healing as he was to provide light. But he's not receiving what he needs to work with, which is the spoken command. Light be. Not, I wish there was light. Light be. Okay, you see what I mean here now. One. God wants people well, healthy, and healed. You're going to have to get that straight. God does not want people to be sick. It is God's will to heal, and I mean every time. The only exception, I see people always go immediately to the few little exceptions. You know, you could have 10,000 people healed in one. There'd be a little, they'll say, well, what about the guy who had his father's wife? He was under judgment at the time. That's a pretty severe, isolated case. I mean, you know, that's not exactly every day, hopefully. If it is, anyway. Especially if it's in church that way, you know. Quit looking at the isolated cases and look at where Jesus healed them all. He healed them all most of the time, especially if they responded to the altar call. He healed them all. Remember that? I didn't bring this one with me, but in Luke, one of the accounts, it says, all night long, he ministered to all of them, and he laid his hand on each and every one. Now, there's more than one way to heal. We're going to get into laying on of hands another night. But tonight, we're going to focus on the command. You have the authority to command health. Okay. Healing is in the atonement. It is the will of God to heal. Point number two. As Jesus' disciples, as his ambassadors, we are ministering in his stead. It's just as if he was here. We are doing it in his name. We are doing it by his authority. And the truth be known, it's actually His Spirit within you. It's the life in you. It's Christ in you still ministering that life to the people. Now, it's by the agency of the Holy Spirit, but He is ministering life. All right? Now, a good analogy, just as a police officer, there is no question about the authority that we operate in. We know what we're doing is right, and we do it without hesitation. When the police officer drives along and he sees the bank robbery in progress, does he phone headquarters and say, "Should I do something about this?" What kind of police officer would that be? That's not right, is it? No, you don't have to phone home on that. You already know. No, you're supposed to take authority over that. See, that's Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were... If you find them oppressed of the devil, God wants them healed. Now, we got to start getting that mindset. Just like a police officer. It's like, there's a criminal activity going on here. This person is being oppressed of the devil. See, if he's driving along, there was on the news this week, there was a police officer being mugged by somebody, and a passerby drove by. He wasn't even authorized, but he had enough sense to stop and help the officer. Amen? If it's wrong, it's wrong. And when people are being oppressed by the devil, He sent us in His name to set them free. I'm going to keep on this till y'all are amening like crazy. You're just going to say, yeah, that's right. That's right. We have to know that it is right to set people free, to get people healed, and that we are doing it in His stead. When I say in His stead, that means just the same as if He was here still in the flesh. And in a way, He is. He's just in your flesh now. You are His body. He doesn't have any other body to do it through but ours. He doesn't have His own physical body anymore except ours. And if we go, no, we're standing in the way of what He wants done. Okay. We are here in the authority of Jesus. Now get this. And when we speak, the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all agree as one with what we are saying. The power of God flows through us to the sick person. Now stop thinking that it falls from heaven. It does not fall from heaven. It flows from within you. If it came from heaven, then He didn't need to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the living God. Where you go, God goes. That healing flows from you into them. You are the mobile temple of the Holy Ghost. Mobile temple. You're a temple of God with legs. I love it. Now, one way I said it differently a week or two ago, I said, when you speak in the name of Jesus, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. Somebody was listening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to remember that. You're an authority here. Now, for that power to flow through you, you have to know and believe that what you are doing is what God wants you to do, and that you're doing it in His stead. How can I know that? It's in His Word. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. If you shall ask anything in My name, I'll think about doing it. No, I won't think. No. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. If I asked B, and I gave her a couple of dollars, and I said, "Boy, we need a loaf of bread. Would you run down to the store and get us a loaf of bread?" And let's just say she, took a couple of bucks and she left, and I'm teaching along. I'm just, I'm saying, "Now come on back. Maybe we're going to do communion or something. I need the bread, And we're preaching along. This is not exactly in my notes. 10 minutes goes by, and I go, Boy, I asked B for bread. I hope I have enough faith to believe for this. What would y'all think about that? I hope I have enough faith. I don't know if I have enough faith to believe that I'll receive the bread. And they go, do you know B? She wouldn't lie to you. She wouldn't steal your $2. She'll be back with the bread. Yeah, I hope I have enough faith. I just don't know if I have enough faith for this to believe that B will actually come with the... That's how we treat God. We do it all the time. Somebody says, oh, I just hope I have enough faith to believe this. And when you hear that, next time go, yeah, you're right. God's such a liar. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, I know. Yeah, he's such a liar. You're right. I don't know if you have enough faith. You can't depend on him to keep his word. Do y'all realize that's what we're doing? B will be back with the bread, and God will bring the healing bread. Because he said he would. He said he would. We've got to get like that. Again, I see, my job is to not disobey when these things come. Remember Smith Wigglesworth walking down the street, and he saw a cripple walking down the other side of the street. And you know, Smith, he wasn't exactly timid. He yells across the street, do you believe God will heal you? Guy on the other side of the street, I don't know whether he's crutches or what, but you could tell he was a cripple somehow. And the guy says, well, I sure hope he will. God says, well, he'll either heal you when I pray or he's a liar. I see, that's a man that knows God. We are a people that will know our God just like that. Amen. I like it myself. B, you'd bring the bread, wouldn't you, baby? I knew she would. All right. If we can trust B to keep her word, can't we trust God to keep his? It's not even really about your faith. He didn't say have faith in your faith. See, have faith in God. Do you know him? He's trustworthy. If he says it, you can count on it. He'll bring the bread. He gave you the Holy Spirit to manifest the bread. That's a whole other lesson out of Luke 11. He said, anyway, I can't go there. We'll never make it. Now, get this now. Specifically tonight, from now on, do not be pointing out a sick person to God and say, oh God, please heal this person. Stop that. Stop it. That's already been decided. Jesus already bore the stripes for every one of those people. I like to say it this way. The healing switch has been flipped on. Your electricity, if you paid your bill, is on. And it's ridiculous to sit there with a fan not plugged in the wall and the switch turned off and say, oh God, please make this fan work. The electricity's on. Plug it in. Turn it on. Get your hands on the sick and command healing in Jesus' name. The switch is on. Glory to God. Now, how did Jesus do it? Well, let's look. I got several for you. We might get these all in. Did you find John 5? All right. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Now I'm going to change this old saying up a little bit. Excuses, I'm going to change it, are like elbows. Everybody's got them. Stop it with the excuses. He didn't even answer Jesus' question. He right off, all he started doing was making excuses. Why? And by the way, Jesus ignored it. Don't want to get involved. He ain't going to sit there and counsel you with your excuses. Verse 8. Now here it is. So Jesus prayed to the Father and made deep intercession and said, Oh God, I humbly beseech thee, O Father, that thou wouldest grant to this person that he beest healed. Do you see anything like that at all? There is nothing like that. What do you see? Here, now, and remember this morning's teaching. It's not really Jesus himself. He said, it's the Father in me. Now, this Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the Father. We'll teach on that another night, but you guys have been around here a while. You know that's true. The Spirit of my Father. Okay? So, Jesus is the agent of authority. He is the second man, the last Adam. He is the one now given dominion. His job is to speak the command. The Holy Spirit's job is to manifest the answer. You see that? Jesus speaks the command. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting he who has dominion. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means, it's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word for Messiah. And it means the anointed one. He is the anointed one. When you go in his stead, you are the anointed one. Because of his life in you and the name that he's given you to function by. It is no different from the Holy Spirit's point of view. It is absolutely no different than if Jesus Christ stood there in the flesh himself, given that command. When you give it in his name, in faith, the Holy Spirit will do exactly the same for you that he did there. Because it is the Word of God. It is the will of God. He is here to enforce your dominion. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. See, God's given his approval. You hear that applause? You hear that applause from heaven right there? Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, a few little notes here. Jesus gave a command. Now, understand this. It was an impossible command in the natural. This man had been at that gate 38 years. Say out loud with me. 38 years. Most people would respond this way. Take up my bed and walk. Are you nuts? Can't you not see? I've been laying here for 38 years. And what do you reckon that guy's legs look like? If he hadn't walked on them in 38 years, they look like little bird legs. And everything in the natural is like, this is impossible. I'm just here to tell you ahead of time. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to get used to hearing the impossible. He's always telling you to do the impossible. And especially when it comes to your checkbook. He has never yet asked me to do something I could afford to do. He asked me to do something and I'm going, Lord, have you looked at my checkbook? And it seems like he says to me, have you looked at mine? He didn't ask me to go on my dime, I go on his. Got that? So many people would say, are you crazy? I can't do that. But the number one way Jesus ministered healing, now not the only way, was by giving a command. Now, by the way, if this man had said that, if he'd have refused to act, if he'd have refused to move at all and try and obey that command, I believe Jesus would have ministered by the laying on of hands. There is more than one way to minister healing. But the number one way you're going to find, if we're going to follow in his footsteps and do it the way Jesus did it, you read it for yourself. The number one way he did it, he would give the command. Sometimes he would command the disease itself, like with Peter's mother-in-law. It says he rebuked the fever. In that case, this time, I'm going to slow down a little. Don't want to go to these. It's more important that we get it than we get them all tonight. On this one, who did Jesus command? Did he command sickness? He didn't talk to the sickness on this one, did he? Did he command the Holy Ghost? Did he command God? Who did he command? The sick man. We're going to look at some more like that. We're going to look at the guy with the withered hand. Very often, Jesus will command that person. That person's response, and it's usually an impossible command. Okay? That person's response, just to even try, that's the trigger that releases the Holy Spirit to manifest the healing. You see that? Now, if they're not willing to do it, there's more than a way to minister healing. Sometimes just laying on of hands. Okay? We'll teach on more on that on another time. But the number one way, write this down, the number one way that Jesus ministered was by giving a command. Usually commanding the person. Sometimes rebuking the disease itself. Okay? Now, just a note on this one that we're not going to teach on tonight. This particular case is one of those where later on Jesus found him in the temple. And he said to him, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Now, what does that tell you? Not all sickness is the result of sin. But very often sin does open a door to sickness. Okay? All right. We'll teach on that another time. But notice this. Jesus healed him first. I want you to get that part too, though. Here's another one. Search it out for yourself. Except for the rare occasion like the guy who had his mother's wife. That guy needed to repent before he could be healed. That is the rare exception. The vast majority of the cases, Jesus doesn't say a thing to him about repentance. He doesn't say a thing to him about straightening up your life. What he says is be healed. He heals them first. See, and that's even scriptural, even for believers. If you get over to James, is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint him with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, the Lord will forgive him. Well, that tells you right there, he might be sick, and maybe if not, he may not have committed sins. Okay? But the point is, he'll heal you first and then forgive you sins. Amazing. Kind of back. That's a little opposite of the way I was taught that. And now I know why, though. He paid already for the healing. That's the point that I have to keep driving home and driving home. Don't forget about those 100 guys. There's no way one of them wouldn't be saved. And from his mind, there's no way one of them wouldn't be healed. Because it's the same atonement. The blood of Jesus paid for both. If you can be saved, you can be healed. You can be healed, you can be saved. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. I think we milked all the juice out of that one. Go to Matthew 12. Milk juice. Okay, milked all of the milk. Don't milk juice. Matthew 12. Bad grammar, but you know what I'm trying to say. All right. Matthew 12, and we're going to start in verse 9 on this one. When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his... hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, an animal? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Well, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Now here we go again. Then saith he to the man. Here we go again. He's not commanding the sickness. He's not talking to God about the sickness. He's not praying that the man be healed. What does he do? He gives a command. Stretch forth thine hand. And notice, and he stretched it forth. Now, again, couldn't he have said, are you looking at my hand? Can you not tell it's withered? If I could stretch it forth, I'd be stretching it forth. In other words, he could say, this is impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And when Jesus gives the command, it's not based on your ability. It's based on your willingness. And when you, I will obey, I'll do the impossible, right then is when the Holy Spirit manifests his power. Whew. And that hand was made whole. Read it, look at it. Verse 13, then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Impossible. But he did his best. He's stretching it forth. And it was restored whole, like as the other. Here we go again. He gave the command. Jesus gave a command, stretch forth your hand. The man could have said it was impossible, but the man obeyed by putting forth the effort. If the man had not obeyed, this is my opinion, not doctrine, I believe Jesus would have ministered to him by laying on of hands or some other way, because Jesus wants him healed. Okay? But thank God the man obeyed, and that's the best way to do it. Remember what Mary said? Whatever he says to you, do it. And if he says, stretch forth your hand, stretch forth. Even though you go, I can't needs to leave your vocabulary. Again, excuses are like elbows. Everybody's got some. Everybody's got elbows. I'm changing it for church. Y'all know what it means. Look at me so holy. Anyway, you know, stop it with the excuses. Would that have done the guy any good? But I believe Jesus would have ministered healing to him anyway, just because of who Jesus is. He'd have laid hands on him or something. But the hand was restored whole as the other. Now, Jesus knew. Now, Jesus knew this, and this is what we have to know. Jesus knew that when he commanded, the power of God was there to make it happen. We have got to get that mindset. Jesus, in Mark 11:22, starts off, have faith in God. Again, B. Would you go to the store and get us a loaf of bread? And B's gone. And after about 10 minutes, I go, boy, I hope I have enough faith to pull this off. I mean, B's not back. I asked for bread. I don't have bread. She's been gone 10 minutes. Man, I hope I haven't. Faith? What are you talking about? What do you talk about? Faith in you or something? Faith in B. If I know B, no, if I know B, if I know her, she's coming with the bread. It ain't a part, it ain't a matter of my faith at all. It's her. Have faith in B. When it comes to that one loaf of bread. That's the same thing. Have faith in God. He's already said he's by the stripes of Jesus, they were healed. He's already said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Didn't he say it? Have faith in God. And that's why he said, the very next thing is, whosoever, say that's me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Okay, the mountain could be cancer, could be a withered hand, could be anything. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, go. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Why that? You can't see it anymore. If it's cast into the sea, it's gone. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, when it comes to healing, how do you know what you say will come to pass? John 14, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. If I can trust B that she'll go to the store and bring the loaf of bread because she said she would, can't I trust the Lord Jesus that he'll manifest healing when I speak in his name? That the Holy Spirit will honor that just the same? Can I believe it? Christ in me will do it. That life in me will do it by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Surely we can trust Christ as much as we can trust B. Have faith in God. Now, this is a good point. You ought to write this one down. I got two more pages, so to be continued. Once Jesus gave the command, he didn't do anything else. Sometimes the best thing to do is stand still and watch the salvation of God. Don't start speaking against it. Don't start doing something else like it didn't work. Stand and see the salvation of God. Once you speak in the name of Jesus, it is done. Now you can lay hands on them. There is a transmission of the Spirit, transmission of life by the laying on of hands. But Jesus, you watch again and again and again. Once he gave the command, that's his part. He is the agent of authority. Again, there His job is to speak. The Holy Spirit's job is to help. He is the, remember the illustration of the Cheetos thumb guy with the crane? Our job is to move the knobs. We do that by speaking. We do that by laying on of hands. We do that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that he's the muscle. He's the molecule changer. That crane would lift up those, I don't know how many tons those I-beams weighed. It'd pick up like six of them at a time. Nothing. Set them over on that truck. Cancer is nothing to the Holy Ghost. Withered hand is nothing to the Holy Ghost. Come on. Once you give the command, your part is done. Now stand and watch the salvation of God. Amen. Man. For those of you that want some homework, in the face-to-face documents, this one, the number of it is F980901. F980901. These are all at my website under media, and then scroll down to the face-to-face. We have it in there, printed form and audio form. The title of that one is The Highest Order of Reality. And in there, the Holy Spirit says, unless I move, unless the Holy Spirit moves, no ministry has taken place. Isn't that the same thing there? Unless the Holy Spirit moves, that withered hand is not coming forth. But let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit is not going to move without that spoken command. For 38 years, that guy at the pool of Bethesda laid there. Nobody gave the command. Holy Spirit didn't move. We're going to finish this one here. So, in Mark's account of the same incident with the withered hand, he brings out something that Matthew didn't. And you can look this up in, it's Mark 3:5. Don't do it right now. But in Mark's account, it says Jesus was grieved and looked on them. These are the ones that were going, is it okay? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? No. Got to do the toad.
It is not lawful. We object. It is not lawful to heal on the Sabbath day.
They were all about religion. They had no compassion, no love, no heart for that guy at all. And it says Jesus was grieved and looked on them with anger for their hardness of heart. That'll give you a clue what it means to be angry and sin not. Religion made Jesus angry. To be called religion and have no compassion for the sick. If he was grieved like that and angry, when in Mark's account, he adds one other detail. It says Jesus called that guy. He says, come stand here in the midst. Now, Jesus is looking around the crowd. These guys, they're there. They don't care about that guy at all. They're all churchy. They look right, smell right, act right, talk, you know, everything. But they got no heart, no compassion. Jesus is looking at them angry and he's grieved. How many of you think he said, now come here, brother, and stand in the midst. And stretch forth thine hand now. Do you think that's the tone of voice? he's looking around at these guys and he's going, if Mike isn't, you don't have to do it. If Mike was the one with the withered hand, Jesus said, you come over here right now. Come in the midst. Stretch forth thine hand. I bet Mike would have too. That's the tone of voice it was in. You stretch forth thine hand. I'm going to show you the power of God. Boy, he stretched it forth and he got it too, didn't he? You want to say, our Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, you grieve the Holy Spirit when you go around without compassion. Now, this is another lesson. Compassion. There's no such thing as compassion that doesn't have action. Compassion is love in action. See, You don't just drive by and go, oh, that's sad. You drive, you stop, you get out, and you do something about it. Okay, that's another lesson. You never see Jesus praying to the Father to get a person healed. You never see him instructing his disciples to pray to the Father to get people healed. What you'll hear him say is, heal the sick. Why? He already paid for it. He's already took the stripes. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's enough for tonight. Is that enough to digest for tonight? Now, if you want to see some previews, I'll give you some previews. Matthew chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. That's the guy with the palsy. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. The blind man, he said, receive thy sight. Receive thy sight. How many of you think it was Lazarus's faith that got him raised from the dead? No, it wasn't his faith. He's gone, right? I do love this one. Preacher said, it's a good thing he said Lazarus. It's a good thing he just didn't walk up to the graveyard and said, come forth. However many's in the graveyard are coming. It's a good thing he said, oh, Lazarus, come forth. And then Tabitha, remember Tabitha that died, the little girl? Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Our vocabulary is going to change. Our methods are going to change. We're going to do it the way the Master taught us to do it. We're going to walk as he walked, talk as he talked, and we're going to have the same results that he had in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, got to stop for tonight. I'm having a good time in this. I hope you are too. And we'll have a better time when we start doing this, really doing it. And that's called revival, by the way.